QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for February 15, 2012. The Aries Audio E-Letter Report is a voice version of the Aries E-Letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries E-Letter is available online at arrl.org/Aries-EL, or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/Aries-E-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this edition, we have for you Twisters Prompt Arkansas Skywarn Response, ECAC Reports Progress on Aries NTS Studies, New Hampshire Aries Academy to Build on Success, Lessons Learned, Oregon Aries ShakeX 2011 Solutions, National Hurricane Conference next month in Orlando, ARRL Digital Technology for Emergency Communications Course, Letters, Management of Volunteers Modalities, and K1CE for a final. Twisters prompt Arkansas Skywarn response. Arkansas Skywarn was activated by the National Weather Service's Little Rock Forecast Office on the afternoon of Sunday, January 22nd at 4:30 p.m. The day began with areas of dense fog and drizzle, and at 6 a.m., temperatures were mostly in the 30s to lower 40s. The forecast had been calling for a severe weather setup later in the day, but many residents were curious as to how such an event could be possible given the day-long conditions. Around 4 p.m., the fog began to lift, and temperatures quickly rose as storms began to form in the central part of the state. Around the same time, the Arkansas Skywarn Program Coordinator, Danny Stressel, KE5WLR, received a call from the Little Rock Forecast Office, and the Arkansas Skywarn was activated. Stressel is responsible for scheduling net control operator shifts at the Little Rock office and quickly summoned a team which headed for the facility. Around 5:30 p.m., Darrell Stout, AE5WX, brought up the Weather Watch Net, which is a pre-net for Arkansas Skywarn. A few severe thunderstorm warnings were issued, and Mr. Stout took several check-ins as certified amateur radio storm spotters began to deploy. By the time the Arkansas Skywarn Net Control Team was in place, shortly before 6 p.m., the first tornado warning was issued. A quick and seamless transition was made from one net to the other. Mr. Stressel and Shane Lee, KF5FBR, assisted by Mona Blacklaw, KM5ONA, were at the mic. Darkness fell as activity picked up, most of which was south and east of Little Rock in less dense populated areas of the Delta region of the state. Because of this, it was extremely difficult to see storm development and dangerous to try to spot it. Troy Singleton, N5ARK, was the most valuable player of the entire night. Mr. Singleton was raised in southeast Arkansas and knew the area like the back of his hand, which was instrumental in his safe navigation of the farm roads in the area to safely spot developing tornadic supercells. At times, this was the only information coming from that area of the state, and the NWS Little Rock Forecast Office was thankful to have reports coming in from Mr. Singleton. A little further to the east, in Arkansas County, were members of the Grand Prairie Amateur Radio Club. Weather reports were collected through a simplex net and relayed to Club President Randy Geeter, K5NDX, who in turn relayed them to Arkansas Skywarn at the National Weather Service. At one point, a rain-wrapped tornado headed toward Mr. Geeter and his crew. They took shelter in the county sheriff's bunker for about 20 minutes. The tornado was completely rain-wrapped, and all they could see was power flash after power flash as the tornado took down high-voltage transmission lines. The storms moved out of the Little Rock County warning area fast and exited the state around 10 p.m. In summary, almost 60 certified amateur radio storm spotters checked into the net. And while the storms tracked through areas of the state and counties where the amateur radio population is practically nil, those from neighboring areas stepped up to the plate and provided a public service when it was needed most. The following day, a damage assessment team from the NWS rated at least one of the several tornadoes as an EF2. Thanks to Danny Stressel, KE5WLR, Arkansas Section PIO, Central District Emergency Coordinator, and Arkansas Skywarn Program Coordinator for this report. We'll take a short pause now to allow repeaters to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter for February 15, 2012. ECAC reports progress on Aries NTS studies. Rick Palm, K1CE, reports, last June, the ARRL Emergency Communications Advisory Committee, the ECAC, was tasked with recommending improvements to Aries and NTS so that the amateur service can better serve the public in providing emergency communications. Specific topics included Aries and NTS objectives and organizational structures, integration of Aries and NTS, training, certification, and credentialing, and relationships with served agencies. Chairman Dale Williams, WA8EFK, former Michigan Section Manager and new Vice Director of the Great Lakes Division, reported to the ARRL Board of Directors last month. Mr. Williams reported that to develop a solid foundation of where both the Aries and NTS stand in the minds of today's field leadership, the ECAC designed two field surveys. Included in the Aries survey were all section managers and section emergency coordinators. The NTS survey included the NTS leadership, TCC staff, and region net managers, plus SMs and their section traffic managers, STMs. Multiple detailed questions relating to all four of the above major tasks were included in the surveys. ECAC members are now carefully reviewing and analyzing the results, then they will develop recommendations. Mr. Williams reported that it would be premature to offer comment about potential conclusions at this point. He thanked the respondents for their thoughtful and candid responses. Several respondents' comments were included in Mr. Williams' report as a sampling. We have this from the surveys. The best emergency communications system is the one you use every day. Aries and NTS should be highly integrated, not independent as they are now. NIMS and ICS compatibility is urgently needed and should be required. Aries should work from the local level up, just as NIMS and ICS does. The ARRL Aries could learn a lot from NIMS and ICS. There needs to be a standard for type acceptance of services, so that when an agency calls for a strike team, it is the same response, regardless of location. We need to build credibility from the top down and the bottom up with government-served agencies. We need more visibility in their training materials and plans. We need a national ID approved by FEMA with background check and minimum training. We also need to make sure, if all else truly fails, the system is flexible enough that non-accredited operators can be used in some capacity. More national help to local and regional Aries organizations around the country is needed. The questions on the survey could also be applied to RACES. FEMA still needs to kill the program and replace it with an Aries or a new combined Aries-RACES organization. Get the idea out that traffic is central to effective Aries action. MCOM is traffic. There is too much distance now between interest in Aries and traffic. There were also several other comments. You may read them online at arrl.org/Aries-EL. Rick Palm, K1CE, adds, "We wish Dale Williams, WA8EFK, the best of success in his new post. He served the ECAC exceptionally well during his tenure as chairman, bringing a spirit of camaraderie and a good work ethic to accomplish much." Jim Cross, WI3N, the Maryland, D.C. section manager, has been appointed as new ECAC chairman. New Hampshire Aries Academy to build on success. Planning for the second annual New Hampshire Aries Academy program is underway. Last year, the state's Aries leaders wanted to test the concept of a major Aries training program, and the response was fantastic. A full house of 100 people attended. The same number is expected for this year's academy. The program offered 4 courses, and all attendees took all 4, 25 at a time. Courses included message handling, net control skills, introduction to NBEMS and Go kits, and personal preparedness. This year, a basic track, an advanced track, and a series of workshops will be offered, all in the same 4 classrooms and 1 auditorium. More courses will be introduced in future years. The opening session in the auditorium last year featured speakers from each of 3 key served agencies: the New Hampshire Homeland Security and Emergency Management, or HSEM, Chief of Communications John Wynn, Red Cross's Ian Dyer, and NWS's Scott Reynolds, KC2JCB. During the day, the director of HSEM, Chris Pope, stopped in to say hello, and this year he has been asked to be the keynote speaker. We also have a wrap-up session at which SM and SEC Al Schumann, K1AKS, and Dave Coulter, WA1ZCN, Assistant SEC for Operations and Training, will take a few minutes to give a final pep talk and hear any kudos or gripes about the program. Thanks to Dave Coulter, WA1ZCN, for this information. Lessons learned, Oregon Aries Shake X 2011 Solutions. The story of Oregon's major earthquake exercise, Shake X 2011, was covered in the March issue of QST in the Public Service column. Here is more discussion on the lessons learned and options for solutions to some of the problems the exercise leaders experienced. On April 9, 2011, 1 month after the disastrous Japanese earthquake and tsunamis, Oregon Aries volunteers conducted a statewide simulated emergency test, or SET, to test their readiness to respond to just such a disaster. The Shake X 2011 SET was designed to test the ability of Aries units to exchange very high volumes of written messages between the county emergency managers and the Oregon Emergency Management, or OEM, office in the state capital, Salem. Much of the radio traffic exchange occurred over the Oregon Aries Digital Network, OADN, which uses Winlink HF and VHF radio systems funded by the state of Oregon following the major windstorms of 2007. In addition to statewide communications activities, many counties held their own local drills in coordination with their local emergency managers, medical facilities, and community emergency response teams, or CERTs. The local drills typically included establishment of HF radio systems at remote locations using portable field-day-style antennas. Local drills included the transmission of photographs by radio to county and state EOCs and relaying simulated damage reports between stations. Lessons learned. During a disaster of the scale anticipated during this SET, there will likely be an overwhelming volume of emergency written and tactical traffic being exchanged between emergency managers. At such times, it is essential that the flow of messages from Aries radio operators to and from these officials be accurate, efficient, and timely. Although the technology used by Aries units to get the message delivered worked quite well, it soon became apparent that the flood of messages being received at many EOCs simply overwhelmed anyone's ability to methodically log, manage, and distribute them. Several options have been proposed to deal with this data management issue, and they are discussed below. 1. Aries operational procedures and training are needed to minimize the volume of unnecessary traffic generated by overuse of the Reply All option in the WinLink AirMail 3 software. While helpful in appropriate situations, such overuse dramatically slowed reception of other, perhaps more important, messages at some EOCs. 2. Efficiencies are also needed within the EOCs themselves to improve on the print and stack methods of dealing with message overload, although the best way to handle this problem may be electronic distribution to the served agency emergency managers. Solutions will likely vary between agencies. 3. There has been interest within Oregon-served agencies of developing the ability to transmit damage assessment photo images using amateur radio. This SET was an opportunity to test operational procedures using WinLink HF PACTOR peer-to-peer and VHF RMS connections for this purpose. SET instructions were to limit image size to about 10 kilobytes to avoid excessive file transfer time. Pre-SET testing suggested that HF PACTOR transmission time would vary from about 4 to 10 minutes, depending on signal strengths, or about 3 minutes by VHF WinLink packet to an RMS gateway. 4 county EOCs successfully transmitted images via 40-meter WinLink PACTOR peer-to-peer, which demonstrated the feasibility of providing this service. Operators noted, however, that photo image transmission disrupted their handling of written traffic. In such cases, emergency managers may need to set message transmission priorities. Nevertheless, the ability of Oregon Aries units to transmit damage assessment photos, even low-resolution images, has been of great interest to Oregon emergency managers. 4. Since existing antenna systems would likely be destroyed in a real event, the ability to set up portable, emergency-powered stations field-day style would be mission-critical. Thanks to Vincent Vanderhyde, K7VV, Oregon Section Emergency Coordinator, for this submission. We'll take a short pause now to allow repeaters to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL Aries e-letter for February 15, 2012. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. National Hurricane Conference next month in Orlando. The 2012 National Hurricane Conference, titled The Nation's Forum for Education and Professional Training in Hurricane and Disaster Preparedness, will be held March 26th through March 29th at the Hilton Hotel in Orlando, Florida. The primary goal of the National Hurricane Conference is to improve hurricane preparedness, response, recovery, and mitigation in order to save lives and property in the United States and the tropical islands of the Caribbean and the Pacific. In addition, the conference serves as a national forum for federal, state, and local officials to exchange ideas and recommend new policies to improve emergency management. In order to accomplish these goals, the annual conference emphasizes the following: lessons learned from hurricane strikes, state-of-the-art programs worthy of emulation, new ideas being tested or considered, information about new or ongoing assistance programs, the ABCs of hurricane preparedness, response, recovery, and mitigation in recognition of the fact that there is a continual turnover of emergency management leadership and staff. Greg Surratt, W4OZK, hosting ARRL Southeastern Division Director, reports that there will be several amateur radio activities going on during the week. Mr. Surratt said the National Hurricane Conference, or NHC, leadership continues to recognize the valuable contributions of amateur radio and again invited us to participate with two sessions. On Monday, March 26, 2012, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the ARRL Southeastern Division and the Orange County EOC will host an interactive, free NHC workshop for all ARES interested amateur radio operators at the Orange County Emergency Operations Center, 6590 Amory Court, Winter Park, Florida. All amateur radio operators are invited at no cost to attend the National Hurricane Conference Amateur Radio Sessions and the Orange County EOC Workshop. For additional information, go to hurricanemeeting.com. Hurricane Meeting is one word, so hurricanemeeting.com, or read the ARRL e-letter online at arrl.org/ARES-EL. Hurricane Conference presenters are Julio Ripoll, WD4R. He is the WX4NHC Amateur Radio Assistant Coordinator, National Hurricane Center. John McHugh, K4AG, Coordinator for Amateur Radio, National Hurricane Center, WX4NHC. Rob Macedo, KD1CY, Director of Operations for the VOIP Hurricane Net and ARRL-SEC for Eastern Massachusetts. Mike Corey, KI1U, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager, and Greg Surratt, W4OZK, ARRL Southeastern Division Director. Mr. Surratt also writes, "We encourage you to visit all the activities you can, learn more about amateur radio emergency communications, and meet the folks doing it. Hope to see you there." ARRL Digital Technology for Emergency Communications Course. This course will introduce the student to all the ways amateur radio operators are using digital technology as a valuable emergency communications tool. The topics discussed during the course include packet radio, APRS, WinLink 2000, ILRP, EchoLink and Wires 2, D-Star, APCO 25, HF sound card modes, and automatic link establishment. The course will help answer questions such as, can you transfer supply lists or personnel assignments between emergency operations sites? Can you get critical emails to the internet if a connection goes down? Can you relay digital images of damage at specific locations? Can you track the locations of emergency personnel and display them on computer maps? Illustrations, screenshots, internet links, and audio files are used to demonstrate transmission modes and equipment configurations. Bite-sized learning units and interactive knowledge checks make learning interesting and fun. Steve Ford, WB8IMY, course author and QST editor, ARRL Publications Manager, adds, "This course is a great starting point for anyone interested in public service applications of digital communications technology." And now, letters. Management of Volunteers Modalities. Kenneth A. Kaler, Sr., KC9SQD, in Hendricks County, Indiana, writes, "I am the Administrative Assistant Emergency Coordinator for the Hendricks County, Indiana, ARES, under Ronald Burke, KB9DJA, the county EC. Mr. Burke and the rest of our ARES leadership have been discussing new ways to enhance our emergency response capability. We have 40 members. I read your article in the February QST, Putting Amateur Radio in Context in the EOC, about Flagler County's Volunteer Auxiliary MCOM Unit. Our ARES organization does recognize the FEMA ICS and NIMS protocols. We have 15 members who have taken the ICS 100, 200, 700, and 800 courses. We also offer Skywarn training, net control training, NTS training, as well as various other training classes and workshops throughout the year. We have a group of net control operators that runs our Skywarn nets when severe weather approaches or when the NWS activates us. If you could give us more insight into how your organization's program works, we may be able to start one here. Our County Emergency Management Director supports amateur radio, and he may be interested in the Flagler model to enhance amateur radio's response capability accordingly. Rick Palm, K1CE, replied, "Ken, there is a link to complete information on the Flagler Emergency Management Volunteer Program, including an application form and a comprehensive program manual, online at flaglaremergency.com/pages.php?PID=75. Let me repeat that. flaglaremergency.com/pages.php?PID=75. We'll pause again to allow repeater stations to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL ARES e-letter for February 15, 2012. And now, K1CE for a final. There has been extensive discussion on training and certification lately. For example, in the March issue of QST, Public Service Column. In the February issue of QST, there's an article on the contemporary EOC environment which spoke briefly on the topic. The same EOC classifies its volunteers by their experience levels and their training and certifications. A matrix that the emergency manager uses to select volunteers for specific duties during emergency or disaster situations may be viewed at arrl.org/ARES-EL?issue=2012-02-15. Again, arrl.org/ARES-EL?issue=2012-02-15. It provides some guidance to us as radio amateurs on the training to take and the certifications to obtain to make ourselves more valuable to the EOC professionals. This matrix is used by the Flagler County, Florida Emergency Services Department. And that's the ARES audio e-letter for February 15, 2012. The ARES audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARES audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL ARES e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. Thanks for listening. And 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2012 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.